New Perspectives Open Pitch presents Memoirs of a Little 'Un, a 10-part collection of heartwarming stories and reminiscences of growing up in rural England during the 60s by Chrissy Payne. Part 3. The Bean Factory.
My dear friend Shirley anticipates autumn with such melancholia. It is as if all the year's good times have been spent, and the next several months are something to be endured rather than enjoyed. "Cheer up, old thing," I say as we meet for elevenses. "It's my favourite season," I proclaim. I'm not just saying that because I look particularly fetching when dressed in tweed or berry shades. I really mean it. Shirley laughs in response, so that at least is a step in the right direction. "I suppose, Shirley," I continue, "it's my country upbringing, each season being defined by its unique traditions. Changes that are subtle at first, perhaps the need of an additional cardigan or a nip in the evening air, and then before you know it, summer slipped away. The dried flower arrangement that filled the yawning hole of the fireplace is removed and replaced with a grate and a crackling log or two. The first fire of the season. As a child, autumn represents a hive of activity, our plentiful garden providing us with all that is needed to sustain us through the barren winter months. The old Bramley apple tree never fails to crop. Its great wooden knuckles and tendrils have all but devoured the chains of our ancient swing, as if it has sprouted from the very tree itself quite naturally. Blemish-free apples are stored. Mounting the ladder to the loft, each rung brings you closer to the intoxicating aroma of the sweet apples, resting in neat rows, blended with bulbous onions, drying with withered foliage suspended from old wooden beams. For stubborn fruit that remains at the top of the tree, Father had devised a plan. "Little 'un, swing with all your might, as high as you can go." I'm happy to oblige, swinging higher and higher, laughing as I do so, with the confidence of childhood and without a fear or care in the world. Sure enough, the last of the fruit cascades to the ground. These fruits are used immediately, either for chutney making or my absolute favourite, stewed blackberry and apple, soft, foamy and fragrant. Autumn in a bowl. Tomatoes that have not reached their full potential, those light orange in colour or yellow, and the many greens, are never wasted. Yet more chutney. By far the best task is the bean factory. This involves all the family. Trug upon trug, overflowing with runner beans, would be brought into the kitchen. We all have our individual duties. Valerie and Jacqueline, the eldest daughters, top and tail. Susie and I feed the beans into two ancient bean slicers screwed onto the worn pine table. As we turn the handles, perfectly sliced beans appear, and a bit of a competition ensues as to who can achieve the highest bean mountain. Domestic freezers were only just coming onto the market, and we certainly didn't have one. In fact, most of our kitchen equipment looks as if it had come straight from the Ideal Home exhibition circa 1910. Ancient they may have been, but they all did a sterling job, and what's more, ahead of their time. Nothing to plug in, all hand-cranked, in a nutshell, or should I say pod, totally green. Father, or should I say the factory foreman, appears with great blocks of salt purchased from Ellingworth's, the local chemist. I hope you girls haven't put any tough ones in. No, Dad. All lovely and tender. Father starts the process of filling. A good layer of beans, then a layer of salt, packed tight into old glass sweet jars. Jar after jar is filled, and soon the shelves in the kitchen cupboard groan under the weight of the beans. On one particular occasion, the bean factory in full swing, Father enters the kitchen looking very chuffed with himself. Da-da! He mimics a drum roll. What a whopper! We all say in unison. Father has brought into the kitchen the longest, most perfect runner bean we'd ever seen. Not for slicing. I thought I'd show it to Fred. Of course, he swears by the Kelvedon Marvel variety, but I bet he's never had one this long. Fred works his own plot in our garden, and there is always a bit of friendly rivalry between him and Dad. It so happens that very same evening, Mother attends the monthly prize bingo in aid of the local scout pack. In addition, it being autumn, the scoutmaster thinks he'd also add to the fun of the evening by holding a competition for the most impressive home-grown vegetable. Mother thinks this is an omen, and you can imagine her delight when she returns home, clutching a 10-bob note in one hand and the runner bean in the other. I won the most extraordinary veg contest. They'd never seen anything like it. Just as Mother is giving us a blow-by-blow account of all the other entrants and how miffed Mrs. Parsons was not to have won with her onion, Father appears on the scene. Look, Sam, I've won 10 bob, longest bean they've ever seen. Father's facial expression changes, and as the colour drains from his cheeks, he starts to resemble the same shade of green as the bean.
I'm not sure that was a good idea. It was meant as a bit of fun.
Father picks up the bean, and when he pulls on either end, the bean parts, and a fine splint of wood falls to the floor. The runner bean had been meticulously constructed by Father, two beans spliced together. The workmanship so delicate it fooled everyone. It's Mother's turn to go green, and she sinks into the chair. Fraud! I'll be named and shamed in the Mercury, banned from the Scouts bingo. We shall have to move, perhaps emigrate. Mother wasn't given to hysterics, but she clearly regards the incident as the crime of the century. She eventually composes herself. Tonight, I suggest, rather than visiting the White Lion, you go straight round to Scout Leader Bill, return the 10 bob, and make a further donation toward funds. Father, tail between his legs, does precisely that. And thankfully for him, Bill sees the funny side and is grateful for an additional £1 donation. Needless to say, it didn't stop Father and his practical jokes.
Well, Chrissy, you've cheered me up and no mistaking, says Shirley. From now on, I will fully embrace the beauty of the seasons.
I'm very pleased to hear it, Shirley, old bean. The end.
The Bean Factory by Chrissy Payne was performed by Juanita McMahon, with sound design by Adam P. McCready, supported using public funding from Arts Council England. It's produced by New Perspectives Theatre Company's Open Pitch, a unique community programme that showcases extraordinary stories from across the East Midlands.